Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is the Anfield Wrap after Liverpool have done the decent thing, which is win the League Cup trophy on penalty kicks. There's so much in this game, we could be talking about it forever. I've got Jake Nolan, I've got Phil Blundell, I've got Siobhan Began, all with us for this one. There was loads of stuff post-match, download the app for that. There'll be more looking back on that game. Download the app for that as well, use your tokens, enjoy it, go from there. See if you fancy more of this, because it feels like there's more and more and more of this to come. Phil, yesterday felt like the start of something. It also felt like a massive moment for these players and for us. You know, I couldn't have enjoyed it any more. But just seeing them on the pitch, footballers love trophies. And it became crystal clear what it meant to them all and how they saw it as them all. For me, that's one of the best parts of this. It wasn't just the lads who played the final. It felt like this was about the most squad thing you could ever win.
It is. I think I tried to count it back, but it's really hard. This type of thing is really hard to figure out and count and compare five or six different teams. It's about 33 players.
I think it's 34.
Like I think it's somewhere in that region of that number of players that have contributed to this. Like, you don't play 34 people in a Champions League campaign. You don't play 34 people in a Premier League campaign unless something ridiculous happens, which in fair, it probably did last season, in fairness, but it was God knows nowhere, did it? What this does, I think it brings them all together. Like, there was a great moment after the trophy lift where they gave Minamino the cup when he went to the corner, and he really, really got into it, and the crowd really got into it, because he's played as big a part of anyone in this trophy. He doesn't get on the pitch yesterday, obviously, but you look back, he scores twice at Norwich,
yep.
He scores at Preston, he scores the 95th minute equaliser against Leicester, all right, he misses the penalty, which I would have loved to have seen him score that winning penalty. I think it would have been brilliant for him in that game. But then he also misses that sitter at home to Arsenal as well. And to get this out of these players like this and bring them all together, it's such a good thing, and it shows that they're all together. Like, you go back to Preston, Harvey Blair, who I'm pretty sure was playing for the 18s on Saturday.
He was, yeah.
Was involved in a game.
And plays then, a half?
Yeah, he plays a half. He started. It's not like he came on a sub for 20 minutes in a game that was 3-0 or 4-0. He starts a game of football against a reasonably good Championship side as well. And that kind of thing, it's so good that they are all together. I think that there was a real feeling of unity at the end. There's a really good video of Alisson and Kelleher. Mm. So it's probably a couple of minutes after the game, just having a hug, and they look like so united. This team is very united, isn't it?
It's very united, Jake. It's also very united around what it wants to achieve. This is, you know, straight away there's a lot of this is just one down, all this sort of thing. They appear to have, and I think they keep it all the way through the game yesterday, even when they have rocky periods, they appear to have an unbelievable focus on what victory will mean to them. And that to me is what victory will mean in the grander sense as well. That to me is what's remarkably exciting about them at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool are an elite level football team, and we're playing against another elite level football team, but what I love the most about us, I think, is that we kind of feel a bit like a Sunday league side sometimes. Like, they just look like they're having a great time. Look like they're turning up because they love it and they believe in what they're trying to do. And yeah, at the top of the game, but it does feel so like local and so inspiring to the city and everything else that we're doing. And I think the big thing yesterday was we took one off them as well. And he took another one off City Stranglehold of the League Cup. And like you said, it's a squad game, 30-odd players, brilliant.
It is. You know, we can talk about so much of it. The other thing to remember, which occasionally we don't because we're very conscious of bigger picture stuff, Siobhan, is something, a sentence as simple as this. Footballers love trophies, and we do too. And I think that that was like a massive part of that yesterday was just, well, and all the build up to it was remembering that, but to see them capering around, I got the impression like Wembley were like, will you just leave now?
They were like ponies, weren't they? Yeah. Like dressage, like knocking around. And you know, Phil said it then, you know, the Minamino thing, there's little stories that you forget about all the way through this. It's been such a short campaign, obviously, because it's wrapped up in February, but it also feels like it's been really long, probably because there's been 34 lads involved in it, and there's been so much going on in between, you know. But yeah, I think that they really did enjoy dancing around with that. And I think Klopp in particular discovered his love for early 2020s dance music yesterday, didn't he, with a trophy in hand. We just couldn't believe it, like that these people all belong to us and they're so like us in that way, like you said, like a Sunday league team. They look like they were going the boozer afterwards, yeah. Like they had that such a good time, but they had the big, you know, the lovely cup at the end that they all went there for in their hands, and you know, trotting back and forth doing the same thing over and over again, yet it feels like the first time every single time, every single time them dancing back and forth with it. Doesn't matter who it was, it could have been that kid, whoever it was, that was next to Klopp and Alisson up, yep, on the rack. It could have been him dancing up and down. The important thing was they had it in the hand, and you know, there's probably loads to that. Obviously, I couldn't believe it when they were saying on Sky it was the first time in 10 years that Liverpool have had a domestic cup trophy. And then obviously the fact that it does feel like the start of something. This season is by no means over.
Come back to you on the pens themselves. You almost do this backwards through this. There's so many brilliant pens. Both sides are hastening, yeah, to add. I mean, I was like gobsmacked that I had Thiago Silva on the ninth pen. I was like, this is cheating. Surely he's already taken one because, he, you know, he's won everything.
He's one of the good
game.
Lads, yeah. Yeah.
He's won everything in the game and he comes up and strides up. So, you know, let's praise both sides here on the pens. Yeah. But I've watched Van Dijk's especially, but also Fabinho's back a million times. I think Van Dijk's penalty might be one of the greatest achievements that humanity has ever mustered.
There's something quite opposite about their two penalties. Yeah. I thought, like, Fabinho took the piss with his, didn't he? Like, just a little side look as if to say, like, go on, go that way. Ah, caught ya. Yeah. And even Gary Neville says on Sky, he's done him there, he says. And then Van Dijk's...
He was laughing, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was quite unprofessional of him, really. He's done him. And then Van Dijk's was just such a... save this, you think you're saving this, all the best with that. It's like Van Dijk goes for the path of most resistance to score that penalty. He's like, you're going to go for it. I'd rather just about get this in than make it look easy because I want you to know that you had no chance. And the way he looks at him, then looks at the Chelsea fans, then looks at us. God, he knows exactly what he's doing to send us wild, doesn't he?
It was incredible. I think those two things, it's worth saying, Chelsea bring this lad on as a penalty specialist. And listen, the one he misses, he's a keeper taking a pen. I'll circle back around onto that because there's an interesting thing about it, but he's a keeper taking a pen. Let's put that to one side for a minute. He barely gets near any of ours, Phil. And I think those two pens, they almost just break his spirit a little bit. There's Fabinho making a show of him, pen two. And then there's Van Dijk's, you think you're going to be clever, you're going to stand there, you think you're going to wind me up, watch this. It is just incredible.
It was also when you got to, I think it was like 8, 9, 10, 11, I think he went the wrong way for three of them, which when you think about there was Robertson, Elliot, Konate and Keller were the last four, weren't they, I think?
Yeah.
And he nearly, in fairness, he nearly gets Konate, but he's completely kettled and he was going early. He was making it very, like Harvey Elliott's penalty from where I was. So I was basically through the back of the net in a straight line, like a diagonal line to the penalty spot of where Elliott's penalty is, the back of the net. That penalty was in about, it was probably in before he hit it, because you could tell where the ball was going and you could see where the goalkeeper was going. And there was no way it was ever, ever, ever not going in. And it was in his head that he just kept moving. He kept going early. It wasn't what you would expect from someone who's come on specifically to save penalties, because
The thing I'd say about this, Phil, from the Tuchel's point of view, that was a sub he could have used for the last 15 minutes of extra time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He could have had more energy on the pitch. He could have put another forward on. He could have shook something up. And in the end, he's used it on a fella who genuinely fails to save any one of 11 penalties. Arguably only gets close to the 10th one, which is the Konate one, which is our theoretical weakest outfield taker. That's the only one he gets near, and then misses his own. He could genuinely have done anything with that sub, but he chose to do this.
Yeah, it's... almost feels like a bit of a lack of trust in the rest of his bench, which is bizarre when you look at the quality of it, because there's a number of players there who'd be very, very prominent in a lot of Premier League teams, isn't there? And maybe like Liverpool were tired. Both teams were tired by the end of it. They were exhausted. So the idea that you don't bring someone on for 10 minutes who's just going to inject some energy and some pace and try and look to exploit the fact that Liverpool were very, very, very tired. Like Trent spends the half time in injury in extra time getting a massage on his calf, I think. So
see, I watched it in the pub. I didn't go. And what you would have missed being at the game, albeit very jealous, is Sky giving the big one. You know, he was getting warmed up for about 20 minutes. He's bouncing loads of balls. He was doing things with his hands I've never seen, like flexing his fingers everywhere. And it was almost like poetry in motion, like Philly Redmond wrote it. You know what I mean? Like for him to come on, like, oh, here he is. And it was almost like it, like the pub was like, oh no, he saves pens him. You know what I mean? And then next minute he just hits it over. It was honestly brilliant. And it, like I said, like something out of a film.
But the thing that's mad about it is, was it 4 years ago, 3 years ago, they were in the League Cup final and they tried to bring him off in the same situation. Yeah. So how do you go from being brought off?
Maybe just tried it hard, practice loads.
Like, it's a real weird change.
Did Menzies not win a penalty shootout a couple of weeks ago at AFCON to win the trophy?
Yes.
What a game he had, by the way. Yeah. What an absolute game he had.
Like, how he made up to be coming off as well. That's obviously a conversation that's happened beforehand.
They obviously knew they were going to do it because he was like, they had a goal kick, didn't they? And he basically walked off. He tried to like walk off behind the goal and then...
He was arguably man of the match.
Yeah.
No, no,
if they'd have won it, he was
their man of the match anyway, yeah.
There is just last thing on this, Siobhan, is I think Kelleher's penalty, I think, sets up Kepa's. Because it's almost like Kelleher does what he does. It's such an emphatic finish. And for me, what's striking is Kepa tries to put it the same place. He doesn't just try and hit the goal with his. It's as though he almost feels as though, well, if he's going to do that, I've got to do something like that. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But that's where he misses it. He goes that way. And I just think Kelleher's penalty was like the end of all doubt. I mean, genuinely, it's very possible that if Kepa hadn't then missed, we'd all still be in Wembley watching him continually take pens for the rest of our existence.
I thought, I genuinely was wondering, are we looking at another 23, 24, whatever it was that year? And... I genuinely think that when Kepa didn't save Kanate's penalty, which he gets a hands on, his head's gone then, and that's it, wrapped up. Then Kelleher does what he does so emphatically and walks back into the goal, doesn't even celebrate, he just swaps places with him. Yeah. He's just like,
so
go
cool.
on, do that.
It was so cool.
Do you know what it felt like to me? I felt really confident at that stage because it felt like all Liverpool's potential doubts on paper were done then, and they'd done so emphatically. Kelleher was the last shred of nerves going into that shootout if it went to the full, you know, the full 11. And once he'd done that, I was like, well, they can all do it again if they need to. and Kepa, I think that there's certain players who the bluster around them probably clouds their own judgment and their own thinking. And I think it was written at that point.
Mendy got to get to mention there, Phil. Chelsea play really well. They couldn't have played much better, I don't think. No. It's worth saying that. I think we could have played a little better in the grand scheme of things, but we played them three times this year. There's not been much to choose between the two sides in those individual encounters. We have a distance on them in the league table. I think that's one of the reasons why they are able to live with us, is because I think they have one more defender than we do, both in a literal write the teams down way, but also sort of culturally in their own approach. But it was a genuinely epic encounter, and they do have some very good opportunities, even allowing for the ones that would have been disallowed, that, you know, there are some very good opportunities in there. It's perfectly legitimate, and to sort of reflect on the game, I think one of my main sort of takeaways is it's perfectly legitimate to think this could be the Champions League final. And it's worth remembering that, well, we've won this one, and I think we were just about the better side. But it was an epic final. It really was a great game of football.
Yeah, it was. It was. You're looking at it, I think the XG, something like a combined 3.5 or something, which for a 0-0 is really quite high. There's a lot of interesting things they do tactically. They make the pitch massive. They make it really, really wide, and there's always an out ball on. One of the things that they do that with the wing-backs that's not the type of thing you expect from wing-backs, especially when it's James and Alonso. They're both massive, and they've got this thing, and they cause out three or four times at both sides where they sort of hang a ball out and the wing back comes in and wins a header. That's not what a wing back's supposed to do, really, is it? And it sort of gets them up the pitch really quickly, because generally the second ball was falling to one of their players and it turned them round and they were at us. And I thought I was a bit concerned when James came on, because I thought his ability going forward is a lot better than Azpilicueta. Like, Azpilicueta in that situation should really be playing centre-back in a back three as opposed to wing-back in a back five. So having the ability to introduce him was a real, real help for them. I thought they're a team that we sort of, they don't necessarily expose weaknesses, but they cause problems that other teams may not.
No, that's exactly what they do, Jake, and a massive part of that is the quality. You know, I thought Havertz plays well for them, is constantly involved, looks after the ball really, really well. Mount will come away ruined, missed opportunities, but also has hard lines, he's involved in the game all the way through. Kante, very consistently, you know, plays excellently against us. I don't think that was necessarily his best performance against us, or even his best performance in a final, but you can never discount him. You know, from back to front, they are a really, really good team.
Yeah, I was really nervous going in, and as I said a couple of times to people who would listen, I would probably rather play City over 90 minutes, because just to think that it's two teams, you'll go against each other and slug it out, and the best comes out of it. Whereas I think Chelsea approach it like, how do we stop these from playing?
Yeah.
And they're almost like our biggest bogey team. And that problem, like Phil mentioned there, he's definitely doing things yesterday that I haven't seen them do before.
There was loads of pressure on Matip first hour, whenever Matip got the ball, because they didn't want Matip feeding Trent or feeding Salah or feeding Henderson. So they would swarm Matip. So we knock it around a little bit, and then there'd be a trigger pass, and you saw them, they would just rush at Matip, as if to say, right, if nothing else, we're going to force you to go back to your goalkeeper.
Yeah, spot on. And even the way that how narrow they were at the back as well, I thought it was key for them. But and we mentioned the subs before, didn't we? It was almost like their subs were picked last week in how they delivered them, and you know, part of the game, how they done it. And that's what I mean when I said I'd rather play against City than play against them, because City would just approach it like, let's try and beat each other over 90 minutes, whereas I think, yeah, I just hate playing them, to be honest with you. Can't stand them.
But we get the results, Siobhan, and Van Dijk gets the Man of the Match award. And it's a strange thing, like, I'm really pleased he's got the award. He probably was the best player on the pitch, but you're so used to now seeing him, especially since the turn of the year, just be that good. Yeah. I'm a bit like, well, yeah, when I saw, don't go to give Van Dijk Man of the Match, why have they done that? And I thought, well, it'll be because he's Man of the Match. And that's, you know, and that is the thing with him. I thought he was just absolutely faultless when you stop to think about it, process his performance. He's almost now back to this thing where he's on another plane of existence.
Yeah, he... It's probably the calmest I've ever seen him under pressure, you know. And he was, you know, there was a fair amount to do, wasn't there? But I thought that he was first to everything. His ability to just find a burst of pace on someone that they should know he's going to have it, because they see it all the time, but they're just not expecting it. I thought he was absolutely brilliant, and I thought that his penalty just rounded it off, didn't it? I mean, like, sorry to talk about them again, but I mean, yeah, it was him all over, wasn't it? It was Everton that we love about him. It was perfect. And I thought that I didn't think he was Man of the Match, you know, but that's probably this skews expectation we've got. It was only when I saw him walking around with two trophies, I was like, what's the other one?
what's he got that for? That?
The Boss Pen Award.
Yeah, the Boss Pen Award. The Siobhan Shook Award. Yeah, agree. Hard agree with Evan.
Phil, the bravery of the line being tested over and over again, and it is tested over and over again, and loads of them don't count, or there's the late flag or anything like that, but they are in on a couple of occasions, Chelsea. It is worth remembering that as well, and Virgil is around while that's happening, but I think that's much more testament to how they executed what they were doing rather than the idea of any sort of specific Liverpool error. But also what's noticeable is the line doesn't get weaker as the game wears on. If anything, the line gets stronger, and we start catching them more, and we start catching them better.
I think that was a part that was, I thought it was to do with Mount going off. I thought Mount was very good at coming from deep. There've been a couple of teams, I think Palace were very good at it as well, where they can just spring the runner from deep, and that's how you break it, because that's the way you break it. You're not breaking this with someone playing on the shoulder. That's not how you break it. You basically got to be on your bike before the lads passed it and get on the end of a pass. The Mount one is that he just after half time when it's the post, it's like he tries to be really precise, because that gap between goalkeeper and post is quite big, and I don't really understand how he managed to not score from there, to be honest. It's like he's tried to put it right in the corner, and it doesn't look like he needed to me. But once he went off, we found it a little bit easier. I mean, there's the Lukaku one in extra time, isn't there, where he scores. Was that the one that was very, very tight?
Extremely tight. Yeah. It was like an elbow.
There was that many of them that you sort of can't remember which one's which to a point. But I'm almost at the point where, like, I'm just assuming that every time someone's thrown goal, they're offside. That's how good we are.
I've never known so many celebrations in an elbow. Yeah. Just, you know... Us when theirs gets flagged, them when ours is disallowed, ours when ours is not disallowed. Just
as a general thing, though, there's a genuine argument that Liverpool's ability to get teams offside is up there with anything anyone's ever done in football at being good at it. When you think about teams do this, that or the other, I can't think of any team who's ever been so much better at an individual thing in football as we are at offside. It's genuinely incredible what we're doing. You only have to look at how many offsides we've achieved relative to everybody else this season. Yeah. It's obscene.
It went over 100 at Leeds, didn't it? Yeah.
There's something in this, Jake, which is where everyone gets really wound up. Liverpool are playing this offside trap. They're executing it absolutely perfectly. They are, I think, a tiny little bit relying on the technology. Yeah. I think Liverpool know that if
that's the entirety of it, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, they know that, for instance, if a liner makes a mistake, it's going to be fine. As long as we're right, if a linesman makes a mistake, it's going to be absolutely fine because the technology is going to see us through. And I think that that's going to drive people mad, if it isn't already driving some supporters mad of other teams, because they feel as though in some way, shape or form, it's against the rules, whereas the actuality of it is it's very much the rules. But I can understand why it does sort of do people's heads in a bit.
Definitely. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, because I was thinking yesterday, at what point is Virgil going to be getting named as the best centre-half of all time if it's not already happened? I don't really like comparing eras, but for things like that, for things like you can just drop Matip off and put Kanate in, for things like you can just play the kid in goal instead of the best goalie, these are all things that, you know, it's no coincidence that Andy Robinson's game goes from here to there. These are all things that are compliments to Virgil, and I just think he just kicks us on so many levels, and how he leads that back four, and obviously we're biased, but I just think he's brilliant.
Oh, I think he could well be the best one, Phil. For me, the most contentious offside is actually the one that we get, where it's given for Van Dijk theoretically blocking the run of James in order to be able to deal with Mane, who then heads it back, and then there's Matip. I mean, there's a phase of play, general conversation here. I think it's a big call to overrule that, and I'm not sort of... Listen, we've won, for one, so let's be crystal clear. But, you know, you don't get many where the referee has to go and look at the screen on an offside, and I think it's completely about... Is it or isn't it this idea that he's interfered sufficiently with play from being in an offside position? And I just don't know if it's enough.
So I think, I as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's fair. I think he just slightly gets in his way, and it's not even, he doesn't even necessarily have had to have won the ball or, you know, dealt with Mane in any real way.
He might have put Mane off.
He doesn't even need to technically do that. If he was going that way and Van Dijk stopped him, then it's just offside. It's annoying. It's the kind of thing that you'd never really prevail. You probably wouldn't even have thought about. But then when you see it, I just think I had no problem with it. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's fair enough.
We've just been talking about defending set pieces, though. Well, like, that was a brilliant set piece.
It was.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it's a sort of to toe, isn't it, from being absolutely perfect. So it's obviously clear that that's a strength in our games, especially now you can see it coming in towards the back end of the season.
It was a good let-off, though.
It was a good let-off.
Waste of a flare, though, wasn't it? Yeah, several flares.
So there was one, two or three rows behind us, and two lads of need new coats, let's put it that way.
Yeah. What all this brings us to, Siobhan, a little bit is, Liverpool start and actually end both halves a little sloppily, but I think that might be testament to what we put in elsewhere, other than obviously the first 10 minutes, because I thought we were tremendous from about the 10-minute mark until about 35, 38, 40 minutes. Yeah. Second half, I think we're tremendous in the middle of the second half. We're controlling proceedings, we're dominating. But, you know, it was slightly difficult to see, but then that's why there's the importance of the subs and the freshness.
I think that at the beginning of the match, I felt like there was a lack of control, and I think that everyone had gone into the game, players included, thinking that Thiago was going to be controlling that and setting the pace for it, and then when that doesn't happen, it's just like, oh, hang on a minute, whose responsibility is this? And I thought, I definitely got that sense from them. I thought that, you know, Keita took his time going into the game. He did, and he played really well in the end, but I thought that that was evident that they thought they were going into a different system than what they did, and I think we were all a bit gutted by that. But yeah, it definitely took its time, but I thought that once we were in control, we were very much in control. I don't think Keller had a thing apart from his saves. I don't think he had anything to actually do the whole game apart from, you know, be blonde and stand there and stuff, you know.
Bail us out a little bit.
Bail us out when he needed to, but I suppose that's what he's there for, isn't it?
Well, no, he does stand strong, the keeper, Phil. It isn't just the penalties, you know, it isn't just that little phase. I think, you know, he's got a big save to make. He makes it, Liverpool then grow back into it. I think he's good for the one that man puts past the post, in that there's a lot of Keller in Mount Sideline all of a sudden. I think that's fair to say. You know, there's little bits and pieces where when he was called upon late on Lukaku with a little back flick, you know, he does well there. Subs matter, energy matters. keepers. I think Shewald's completely right about the Keita Thiago thing, but the keeper stands strong too.
Yeah, there was a save from Pulisic, so at first 10, wasn't there, which is really good, really instinctive, just to his left. There was one just after that, and it was offside, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But someone was 3-1-1, I think it might have been Havertz, and he makes a fantastic save.
Yeah,
to just, I think he pushes it around the post or someone. I think someone might have got it, Matt above Van Dijk might have got it at the back post, but it's a genuinely excellent save. And the confidence he'll have taken from those first two saves in 10 minutes have given him something to go off for the rest of the game. I thought he was great.
The subs thing, I think, again, to go back to this idea that they use 33, 34 players, Jake, in the whole tournament, the subs thing, I think, is interesting here because, you know, for me, I was really pleased with Mane's performance. If I'm the manager, you know, I'm thinking Sadio was really shown something in a big game there as to what he could do. But there was a call to be made between him and Diaz with reference to legs because both looked as though they were flagging when it happened. You mentioned before, you know, he makes the big sub, I would argue, at centre-half. It's a big call to do that. It takes a lot of courage to do that. It was nearly the Joel Matip final. You know, if the goal stands, it really would have. That's why we would have remembered it massively. And what's interesting is I think both Matip and Mane play well. But you get substituted, if you sort of know what I mean, and that's absolutely fine, and another player comes on because we're all trying to win together.
Yeah, I think a lot's been made, hasn't it, about us not taking these trophies seriously, and I think in the main it's been because we haven't had the squad to cope with it. Now we have, so if you've got the squads, you're going to use them, aren't you? And I think it suggests they were impeccable, to be honest with you. They really think they were, and like you said, the one at centre half, I mean, it was spot on because it just nullified Lukaku straight away. But I think with the forward players now, I'm all right with whoever he puts in at whatever occasion. And, you know, you don't want them to be all right with it because you want them to be hungry. And you want, there's a few tackles going in training as well. But all of them are just brilliant, aren't they? Diaz, absolutely fantastic. And I think him against Azpilicueta yesterday, that was definitely like kind of planned. And what Mane was doing was thankless, really. He was holding the line up. And I think quite funny how that role is coming now, because he's almost like a hybrid between Firmino and Jota. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there in the future, I think.
I think, for me, Phil, Sadio's... I want more of this now. I want to see him get another couple of opportunities there. I wouldn't be averse to him starting there against Norwich. I don't think he will, because I think the manager will put Origi in and he'll use it as an opportunity. We'll come on to talk about that, obviously. But, I wouldn't be averse to seeing it against West Ham next week a little bit. I think the key thing to see is, what does it look like? You know, is there a universe where it's Jota left and Mane central? And I'd like to see that, to be honest with you.
I'd like to see it as well, but I don't think he does it. He's a bit stubborn with some of these, where they're stuck to up front. Like, if you go back 2 or 3 years, he loved putting Origi on the left wing when Mane wasn't there, when it was blatantly not his best position. It probably wasn't even the best use of the players in the front three at the time. And it made no real sense why he did stuff like that. So I can't see that. But the reason you're going to get more of Mane through the middle and possibly even on the right if he wants to give Salah half an hour here or there is how good Diaz looks. It's astonishing how good he looks.
Just on that, I think a lot to do with it is without the ball. I think I don't think he worries with the ball, but I think it's how we work when we haven't got the ball. And I think that's why they've got to be where they've got to be, because that's what they'll work on in the main.
Yeah. I just talk about Diaz. He looks incredible. Like, there's a bit in this agenda, and you can see that he's only been here 5 minutes, and it's fair that he's only been here 5 minutes, because he pops up in positions where Mane's obviously played that role for 5 years now. And you'll just see him like on the inside right channel where he's just cut in and kept running and kept running and kept running. I don't know if he's supposed to be there or not, but it works. And he's gonna score a goal just cutting in through the right. He's nearly got a couple already. And he's added so much, more than I expected. I didn't expect him to be as involved as he is. And it's great. He's gonna be great for 5-10 years here.
I mean, it's a great introduction for him as to this is what you do at Liverpool. You play these big matches. You go to Inter Milan and win. You win the trophies. That'd be great. Thank you.
It's been some start, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, he has hard lines not to score. I think he nearly gets in a couple of times and the ball doesn't quite bounce for him. You see some of his really good close control. A couple of times where maybe, just maybe, if he'd have been a little crisper in the moment, he'd have then turned and been in on goal, running directly at it. You know, Salah should do better with this one-on-one if we're on a Siobhan. But, you know, all in, I think Diaz, it is just an excellent
first few games, but to do that in a final, I thought he was great.
I think that what you can definitely tell is that he's a player that does a lot of things on instinct, as in, like, I know what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it dead quick, whereas sometimes he might just benefit from taking it down and just taking a second. But as Phil said, his ability to cut inside and just make a show of someone is incredible, and to be doing that in a final, that's how I knew that I was really excited for Elliot to come on, because I could tell that they were just like going, not another one that's going to be doing that to me, not another one that's going to make me go dizzy. But I was, yeah, I mean, what a start for him. I think that what I hope for him is that if there is a bit of a drop-off, which he's more than entitled to start with a bang and then feel his way in and then start next season with a bang, yeah. I hope people aren't on his back about that, because he, surely you cannot go that blood and thunder from minute one when he's just come off the back of, you know, it's not like he's had a nice little break before joining us, is he? I just hope that, you know, if he does take a little bedding period after this initial excitement, that's all right, that's totally fine, but I don't think he needs it.
Testament to them, Phil, is, and one player in particular, I think Mane, first half especially, felt like he had Chalobah on toast. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever he wanted him, he had him. I think Diaz was similar. But again, we praise our players for staying in the game, thinking the way through it. I think Chalobah does really well for them. I think as a whole, they work out they've got a little bit of a problem there, but then they solve that little bit of a problem too. I mean, this is the quality of what we're talking about. The very stuff we praise our players about, for working things out, for riding through rocky periods, for acting as a collective. I think you got to see them do that around that little pocket of space that Diaz and Mane were exploiting.
Yeah, I think every single player's performance yesterday on both teams, I don't think anyone had a bad game, like remotely bad. Everyone was at worst probably above average.
Yeah.
And that's why the game was so good. Every time someone thought, oh, I've got a bit of a problem here, they fixed it. Mm-hmm. Whoever it was, like, there was a couple of times where Alonso looked like there was someone getting in behind him, and he managed to cope with that quite well. There was all over the pitch, you saw players figuring things out as the game went on and sort of reacting, and like everyone played well. I mean, some of their, like, Kovacic, Kante, Jorginho, one of those three doesn't start, and that shows you how strong they are in that area. For example, like, bring on Reece James. You know, Thiago Silva's playing centre-back. He's managing Chalobah through the game, probably in a similar way that Van Dijk has done with a multitude of players over time. There's probably five genuinely top teams in Europe, three of them playing England and two of them were playing yesterday, and you did see that very much.
As you said earlier on, Mendy's good, isn't he? That save from Mane, I think it's tremendous. I genuinely do. I think it's one of the best saves I've ever seen. His speed of reaction to get up, but he doesn't just block. He has to move his arm in order to divert that ball. He's still saving it. He's a big presence, don't get me wrong. His reaction speed's great, don't get me wrong. But he's still having to react again with his arm. I genuinely think it's an incredible stop.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think that's definitely running through Salah's mind as he's going through on goal for that chance. You know, I think against 18 of the keepers in our league, he slots that in without even thinking about it. But he's thinking about that keeper. Like you said, he's just played against them in AFCON as well. Mm. That's a big thing. And I, you know, Chelsea for years have spent loads and loads of money, had loads and loads of managers, great signings, but I don't think there's been many better than him. What did he cost, like 20 mil?
16 million or something.
Yeah, like, and he's been, they've gone from there to there since he's come in. It's no coincidence they get into the Champions League final as soon as he comes in. And I think it was a great shout by you before, by the way, saying that these are two teams who could be playing in the Champions League final, because I think the Cups suit us and Chelsea really, really do with that depth and with the quality that runs through the squad.
Siobhan, James Milner remains the man you need when you need him. It was, I thought, again, Phil said before, there wasn't a bad performance, and there really wasn't. But it was interesting. I thought Milner comes on at first. It did feel a little bit like, oh God, this. It was still quite blood and thunder, but I actually think in the end it's firstly testament to the player, but also to the manager. He's anticipated in 5 minutes' time this game could do with some James Milner, and let's make sure he's already there as and when that moment arrives. And I thought he was excellent in terms of keeping them pressed back when we were keeping them pressed back. Clever little balls here and there, knowing when to break the run. But he is the man you need.
I think that the fact that he comes on as a trio as well, like, he's got kind of his fresh legs, they're not on his body, they're on either sides of him, but he comes on with energy, and he knows exactly how to control it, apart from that shot, which was somewhat wild. I think it might have hit someone in the
my direction.
It was the absolute perfect time in the game. No one could have coped with any more of that blood and thunder. The lads on the pitch, us in the crowd, could have coped with any more of that. He comes on, he straightens things out. I actually thought his pen was going wide, you know, for a millisecond I thought it was going wide, then I realised I should have known better. But I'm never sad to see him come on, because you know what he's being brought on for, so you can recalibrate yourself to this is going to calm down now a little bit and it's going to slow down, but it's going to be controlled and it's going to be more measured and we can all just breathe.
Be honest, when he came on, I was skeptical. I didn't think it wasn't what I wanted to see, because I was sort of conscious that there was probably another 40, 45 minutes left. He's come on about 75, was it? Something like that. And I was thinking, this probably isn't, it wasn't what I'd have done, but that's why I'm not the football manager, ultimately.
I said on the team talk that once you get to 70, not that I'm right on these things very often, by the way, I said that once you get to 70-odd minutes against Chelsea, I think you know that you're not winning it in the 90, and you know that you're preparing for something a little bit different, and lo and behold.
Yeah, like, I suppose when you think about it, that everyone tires after the 90, don't they? So his lack of mobility is not the right word, but his 36-year-old legs aren't quite as a hindrance as they would be in sort of the 10th minute against Chelsea, when you just wouldn't want to see that, would you? And he manages to get through it. He provides the over the last few years, there's been a thing where he's always seems to have wanted one of Henderson or Milner on the pitch, because there's a sort of a level of leadership and a dragging up of levels of others around him, and he does that yesterday. I think for Elliot to look inside him and go, oh, there's James Milner, that's to do with that and have that is something that's very important for Elliot, and
that's why I think it's imperative he stays. I really do think it's so important. You hear Klopp talk about it the other day, didn't you? Kind of got the impression that so did he. There's clearly things happening behind the scene there. I think it'd be such a shame, such a loss if he goes. I mean, it's happened, hasn't it, when Lallana's gone, we've kind of lost leaders and that, but I think Milner is that manager on the pitch, and it's the change is Milner for Henderson, isn't it? And straight away, it's just a direct sub, a direct change, and you're not losing anything, and it's so important to manage those situations.
If you want to manage a game of football, exactly, and you've got him on the bench, he's there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, there's a difference between starting games of football and playing 15 minutes at the end.
There is indeed. Doug Keita was very good under the circumstances, Phil. Chauvel said before, he takes a bit of time to get in, but once he's in, I think it's another one of his quiet Liverpool performances. But what I mean by that, I think it's one of his best Liverpool performances at the same time.
Yeah, he worked incredibly hard. I think it's the idea that at 4 o'clock he's not playing, and then he starts. You've got to get, he's probably warmed up, but he's not warmed up the same level. Like, I don't know if you noticed at halftime, Harvey Elliott did a proper warm up at halftime to the point where I thought he was coming on. And then Senior said to me, and I went, it's probably just because he didn't do the warm up properly. And I was like, yeah, you're right, actually. So, but that also knocks on to Keita, because I don't know if you ever watched the warm up, but the subs do not do the same warm up as the rest of the players who are starting. So it obviously is going to take time for him to grow into it. And I also thought, as a general team thing, it took us sort of 10-15 minutes, because they were very intense the first 10-15, to the point where I was like, this is great, they can't do this for 90 minutes. But in fairness, they didn't try to, and once we'd navigated that period, he was able to get a little bit more time on the ball, get around the pitch better, and he grew into it, and he was good.
Well, one of the things I think about all of that, Jake, is his direct opponents as well on that side is Kante. And I thought for 10, it was like Kante was first to everything. But then Kante is so often first to everything. That's literally a massive part of the football that he is. You've got to give the opposition, you know, credit for that sort of thing. That's what he does. I think he actually, for the rest of the time, basically, again, apart from possibly the start of the second half, I think Keita nullifies Kante. Kante's suddenly a lot more concerned about what's going on the other side of him, what's going on backwards, than he is about the idea of getting around Keita and forcing his team up the pitch. And I think that's testament to Keita as well. He's up against their best centre midfielder, one of the lads who's been one of the best midfielders in all of world football for the last 5 years, and I think he does a good job on him.
Yeah, even though it's probably, you know, if you're doing the ratings, even though it's only probably 7 or 8 out of 10, and he hasn't, you know, banged one in the top bin or anything like we saw in the videos from Leipzig, I would say it's his best Liverpool performance, I would, because the magnitude of the game, for who he's up against, for like the discipline. And I don't think it comes naturally for him to play in a Jurgen Klopp midfield. I think we've known that. We've been a bit more patient, haven't we, compared to the other midfielders, but because I don't really think that's his game. But I've been really, really impressed with how he's come on this season. I was one to kind of write him off, to be honest with you, but I think he's going to be around now for a long while.
Any other business?
Great, wasn't it? Just generally.
Quite the temperature drop at half time, though.
It was, wasn't it?
Jesus Christ.
It was. It went from I went from feeling as though I had too many layers on to feeling as though I had too few with no middle ground whatsoever.
And you know what we had then was a small layer of sweat that made you colder when the temperature dropped as well, in between a t-shirt and a coat. It's bad news. It's bad news.
Anything from you?
The Jazz was good in the Grapes last night, mate.
I bet it was.
Yeah, it was.
I bet it was absolutely flying all the way through. It's a brilliant victory for Liverpool. It really is. It's an excellent, excellent almost start to this period of what are massive games one after the other. Liverpool go from, you know, obviously a trophy winning game, Phil, through to one which they're all big games at this time. This is Liverpool's smallest remaining big game against Norwich midweek. It is fair to say it's one now where it is a quick turnaround Sunday to Wednesday. You can have the sense that they will bounce into it to a degree, but it's going to be a slightly difficult for them to pull a team together, I think, in that, you know, there's a lot of players who put a lot in for 120 minutes there. Even, for instance, using Milner as an example, he's put a big hour in, all told, really, Milner, and an emotional sort of period of time as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, if James Milner sat here, he's going, I want to play, so I'll play, but you take me general point.
I mean, there's a lot of players who'll be in exactly that, of that mentality as well. I think we might be helped by, I think Norwich might sort of go, listen, we're in a relegation scrap here. We don't really want to play four times in the last week of the season, like 2 weeks of the season. I think they'll make changes as well, which is obviously to our benefit because our squad is obviously much stronger than theirs. There's a few players who don't get on yesterday who you'd think will be involved. Gomez, for example. Gomez, Minamino, Chamberlain. I would expect the three of those to all start. You're thinking, do you bring Kate Gordon in? Do you bring Connor Bradley in at right back and sort of try and hope that you've got Gomez, Canate and Shimakas as the other members of the back four and go from there? I think the midfield's going to be a bit difficult because I think he was probably, I mean, Keita was almost certainly starting on Wednesday night at 4 o'clock yesterday, and then you're now in a position where he probably doesn't, although I suppose he just plays 70, doesn't he? So he could. He plays 70 and he didn't play the other night, did he?
No. People want to bring Tyler Morton, I think.
Possibly, that's a possibility.
Yeah. Did you say before?
So I think Lionel
Blair.
So I think you might be looking at front three of Gordon, Minamino, and Origi. Then Chamberlain in midfield. Maybe Keita, maybe Milner as a three.
What I really love is the fact that somewhere Linders and Klopp are in a room now, probably feeling how we're feeling, doing the exact same thing.
There's no bit of my brain that can think they've had any thoughts on this match whatsoever, because I have got no capacity to think about it. And it's the day after
match
tomorrow.
I
can't believe this is a super privileged thing to say, and I'm so sorry. I can't believe I've got to finish a day's work on Wednesday and go to Anfield. I can't believe it. And I'm a shell of a human today.
You haven't got to. I mean, you know.
I know, but
there are consequences.
If you don't. Three times in the next 10 days.
Yeah, you've got to go again on Saturday, and then next
I've really
Tuesday,
got to go on Saturday.
And then next Tuesday it's Inter Milan.
Oh God!
And I've just realised what time I've got to get up to go to Brighton. Fuck yeah!
Yeah, indeed.
What problems to have
to watch?
Don't ask me to pick a team. I can see on the agenda. Pick me a team. Pick me a firm. No, I'm not picking a team. I haven't given.
Do you think Alisson might play in goal? By the way, I think Alisson might play in goal.
So I think that's also very. I was going to ask you that
because he hasn't played for 10 days. If he doesn't play this, he hasn't played for ten days. Which is quite a long time.
I think you might be right. Yeah. I was gonna say this to you as well. I think Alisson might play in goal. And the other thing to remember, I'm sorry to make Siobhan pick a team out because I'm on the verge of asking her to pick a bench because he gets five subs. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, Phil, you mentioned there before about what he may or may not do. I think it's very possible, for instance, across the two games, you end up in a situation where the one on Sunday and this one on Wednesday, Keita ends up getting 90 minutes, maybe 100 minutes across the two games. Yeah. And I think there'll be a number of players. Jota, will get time on the pitch on Wednesday, depending on where Firmino's up to. If he can maybe do 10 or 15, he'll get time on the pitch. It wouldn't surprise me if one of Mane or Diaz is on the bench and they may get 20 minutes and half an hour on the pitch. My point here is that we can talk about 11s here, but he will have moving parts in amongst all of this, just as he did on Sunday.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a stronger team than the Leicester one in the League Cup, for example, but I think the idea might be the same in terms of we can just win this off the bench. We can put these lads on and hope to get to 60 sort of in it at worst case, maybe you're even winning still, because the team you're going to put out is still going to be a reasonably good team when you look at all the players. But it's probably going to be one of them that looks a bit dysfunctional because it's not a team that's ever played together before. And I think we sort of, when we pick these teams for League Cups, you look at it and go, oh, that's sound, that. And then you sort of watch it play and it doesn't quite work. Yeah. I've just seen you write Curtis Jones then. I forgot he existed. So sorry, Curtis.
He's playing.
He's definitely playing. He might play in the six. He's played in the six this season, so you could end up with that. He plays at six against Norwich in the League Cup, actually, doesn't he? I think the midfield starts was it Jones, Cater and Chamberlain? Yeah,
I think he might want to give Morton one more game, because if Morton features in this, it'll be his last appearance of the season. So, you know, if you've got
Morton, but at the same time, is that not a reason to not play him? Because he's a long way down, and it almost feels like there's players that you'd be actively avoiding who could play. Like, I think Chamberlain and Jones definitely start,
but I think there's a possibility, just to go all the way through this, there's a possibility therefore that Chamberlain starts in the Salah position as he did in the league game. So he goes into there, Gordon's then on the bench as well, Morton plays, so he's almost picking between in this universe. He can then pick Morton, Milner and Jones, say, or Morton, Keiter and Jones, and then he's almost picking between Morton and Gordon, if that almost makes sense. He's picking Morton or Gordon. Even though they play vastly different positions,
him and Chamberlain are basically one of the two of them, and Chamberlain are basically sort of linked to each other in effect. Yeah, that would make sense. I think it'll be Curtis in the six, and then I think it'll go Chamberlain and Cater, to be honest, and then it'll look to have the ability. Do you know what? Henderson goes off on 70, 75. It's not outrageous that Henderson starts and then doesn't play against West Ham.
I think he does Elliot on the pure basis that he's missed a lot of footy, and he goes, do you know what? He's young, isn't he? He'll play.
Yeah,
there's a lot of options here, isn't there?
Yeah,
it's showing the strength of the squad.
It's great when you get into this and you're like, well, he could play. And yeah, like, I didn't even mention, I've talked about five midfielders, I didn't mention Harvey Elliott.
And we all forgot about Jones, did we?
Yeah. No, it's great. It is. No, I think that shows where they are at the moment. I don't think it's absolutely beyond the realms of possibility Matip starts rather than Konate. I'm not saying that will happen, but I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility.
I think he partly brings him off because he plays Thursday. He plays.
Very fair, yeah.
Leeds game, and he plays the previous weekend as well, so
very, very fair indeed. It's exciting stuff. We should have too much for them, Norwich.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll make changes. I think they might have to just sort of go, this isn't what our season is, because they're in a bit of a pickle. They could still stay up, they'll probably get relegated, but I think they'll make six, seven changes and we beat them.
Excellent stuff. You all right?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Just gotta go and get my card, and it's given me the fear.
I understand completely. Got off the bus last night at 1:15, 1:20. Me, Andy and John are walking through the city trying to find a cab. No cabs to be had. Yeah. Got one in the end. Camouflaged Evertonian in the end, Andy. Me and John are wheedled it out of him. You could tell, couldn't you? Yeah, absolutely.
Boozy body, yeah.
Oh no, he was full of praise for this team he theoretically supported, but every sentence ended with a bit of a dig and why Chelsea had hard lines. It was a glorious performance from him throughout. Verged on Oscar winner. Me and John.
Man of the match.
Me and John got out and went blue.
He wanted you to do first.
Yeah, very much so. It was a fantastic day. It's going to be an excellent week. The games are coming thick and fast, whether Siobhan likes it or not. They are coming thick and fast for Liverpool. It's Norwich. Then it's a must win at West Ham. Then it's a must win or must progress against Inter Milan. And then it is a must win at Brighton. We're doing a live show at Brighton the night before. If you want to come to that, there's ways and means to do so. No one's giving me a link or anything. You know what I mean? I'm just a fella talking at this stage of proceedings. Download the app, use the token. It's the Anfield Wrap. We're on the march. You are too. But more than anybody else, Virgil van Dijk is.
Sports Social Podcast Network.